Hey. It's Black Girls Laughing. What up? We're here in Colorado and in Pennsylvania.
Living it up. Living the dream. Actually, it's pretty rainy today, so I'm in a very chill mood.
It's another beautiful sunny day in Colorado Springs. The mountain was looking really fine. I went and checked out my new apartment. I'm moving this week, y'all.
Woo!
Getting closer to the mountain.
New place.
Yeah, super excited about the move. Jordan started school this week. You know, Jordan, who hasn't been on the show in like a year. It's so crazy. Is starting school. And so we're moving up north, a little north, like North Springs, so it's easier for them to get to Denver. So, woot, woot, woot. And the place is super cute.
Yeah, super cute mountains, super cute mountains.
So yeah, my weekend's just been packing and watching Stranger Things 2.
Never watched it.
You would like it. You should check it out. It's fun.
Probably gonna wait.
I mean, wait.
Do a while.
You don't do things on schedule, so you'll do it whenever you want to.
Yeah.
Whatever. Don't be a part of the cultural zeitgeist, you know, be a little bit.
This is how I live my life. Against the TV curve.
Yeah. At least we sometimes get you to a movie on time.
Yeah, I'll do that. Usually a black movie.
Well, of course a black movie. We got to give our money to black folks. Our black dollars go to black people.
Yeah, but other than that, we'll catch y'all on the flip side.
Yeah. So what's good with you? How are you doing? How was your week, weekend?
The week was okay. Yeah, I don't know. Just long. I know I say I'm always tired, but that's kind of where I'm at. Don't really know what to do about it. Kind of feel like just throwing my hands up in the air most days. Kind of feel like I'm sucking at everything most days.
That you're sucking at everything?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No, you're not. You're not sucking at things. You're just thinking that.
Just feeling really overwhelmed and like I can't give my full self to anything right now. Which means I don't want to do any of it.
Yeah. I know that.
So.
Are you going to cut back?
I don't know. So, that's kind of where I'm at. But how was your week?
Week was fine. You know, it's all about moving. I'm still figuring out stuff with my body and like how to like stay keeping it moving and not letting and like not getting slapped in the face by sickness, but things are good. I'm feeling good today, so that's all that matters is how you feel right now. The last 7 days are the past, so I'm trying to like focus in on like pushing forward on the things that I can control. And yeah, but it was a good week. Good week. Can't wait to move. I'm excited. I'm just so excited to move. And you know, it's like a new beginning. So it's creating a new beginning. So it's like, oh, let's take this opportunity to recenter the home space. Being like, I'm like, we have like up until the 18th to get all of our stuff over there. So I really want to be thoughtful about what goes in there and how it's set up and what things I'm bringing into the home. I want to make sure I get the vibe right. I don't know. It's good to take those moments, those moments of like moving, new job, you know, a Monday, the new month, to just like think about resetting. Man, this is like a perfect reason to reset.
Yep.
So excited. I felt like this house has been an unproductive space, so I'm excited to reignite productivity, set things up the way that works for what I'm trying to accomplish.
Woo! New beginnings.
Yeah. So you want to get into this, John?
Yes, let's get into it.
All right, let's do it. Let's start off. Oh my gosh. So yesterday, while I was packing, I was spending a lot of time on the internet, as you do. You know, in between pomos, I was all up in on Twitter, and I saw this video drop. Well, I saw Kathy Griffin trending, and I was like, what is this? I feel like this is like always my lead in. I saw something trending and I was like, what is this? And then I clicked through and I saw this 17-minute video of Kathy Griffin just telling it all. Like it was like a tell-all book, a 17-minute video of just tea being doused everywhere, all over my face. I was literally drowning in tea. It was out of control and scary. Because like some of the stuff that she said in this video, it's like wild as, it's just wild. So a little backstory of it all. Kathy Griffin. She did that pic. She, you know, Emmy winning, Grammy winning comedian. She did that picture of her in that blue dress holding a bloody Trump head. And ever since then, her life has been crazy. Not like her life before then hasn't been crazy. She's always had beef with people because of her stand up, and she doesn't take shit. She doesn't like lies. And she's not afraid to tell on people. And she really showed that with this video. So it was directed at Harvey Levine, who runs TMZ, and Andy Cohen, who runs Bravo. And shows their connections with Trump, talks about how she's been continually doxxed and not protected in Hollywood, talks about how misogynist gay men are misogynist too, that gay men can be misogynistic or maybe even worse, or like in a different way. The way that she describes it, it's just like, it brings up a lot of shit. I think that the thing that was the scariest to me was knowing that she was put on the no-fly list, that she has a federal investigation into her, that she is on the Interpol list, that's like crazy.
What?
For a picture.
What?
For that picture of Trump, of her, like, with Trump's head. And then, like, I was not shocked by her family being threatened and not herself being threatened. And one of the other things we're going to talk about is about a U.S. representative that's being threatened because of being outspoken against Trump. So,
whew. I saw the links to the video. I haven't watched it yet. I saw something about someone wanting to do cocaine.
Oh yeah, Andy Cohen likes to do cocaine. Asked her to do cocaine twice.
And that's like all I saw before I was like, okay, I think I might have to save this for later because there's a lot going on here.
It's a good watch. It's crazy.
Hmm.
It starts with the TMZ guy's phone number. She shares the, like, he, like, left her a message, and she's like, how the hell do you have my phone number? It's like what she's saying in the video to him. And she plays it, and he leaves his number on the message, like, on the voicemail, and she just plays it. So, like, everyone has his phone number, his, like, direct line.
Yikes.
I mean, you know, that's been changed 30 times by now, but, like... Yeah, it just starts off just messy.
Yikes.
And you see all the Trump people are, you know, because she talks about Trump in it, of course, because a lot of his roots, like, her... The demise of her career is rooted in Trump actions. She even says that the guy from TMZ talks to Trump like 3 times a week.
Does that surprise anyone?
I don't know. I don't watch TMZ. I don't read TMZ, but like that's just like, no, it's not surprising because he has a relationship with like, the National Enquirer, and TMZ has even more power than the National Enquirer.
It's like trash talks to trash.
I mean, yeah.
Surprise.
It's just crazy. I'm interested to see what people that like work for Andy Cohen say.
Also interested to see that. And to see what Andy Cohen says. Has he responded yet?
Oh, he responded, like, almost immediately with, like, I'm so shocked by this story, and it is 100% false. And so, you know, the Andy Cohen stans are saying that, you know, are, you know, behind what he said.
He has stans?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know that, like, news to me, too. But I was like, what? Like... I haven't watched Bravo since My Life on the D-List. Like, I think that was the last time I was really watching Bravo. I sometimes watch a Housewives if I was at a hotel or something. But he has a talk show, Watch What Happens Live or whatever, that comes on Bravo, and it's been on for like 10 years. Like, yeah.
I didn't know that was considered a talk show.
You know, it is a talk show.
I thought it was just kind of like a show that happens after the TV shows where he just has all the guests on and they act ratchet.
No, I mean, he also hosts, like, all of the, you know, reunion shows for all of the different reality shows. But no, this is complete. Like, yeah, he has lots of Bravo stars on the show, but other celebrities go on to that show.
I did not. I had no idea about any of this. I have not watched. I think the only time I watch Bravo is like when I go home and mom's watching something.
Yeah. I might put on the, like, Atlanta Housewives when it's the finale, or the four-part reunion show, just to get the catch-up and see who slaps who, you know?
I don't know.
But, yeah.
Didn't know he had stans.
Yeah.
Not surprised by any of it, really. Especially the TMZ guy, because I've seen pictures of him before, and he just looks like a... Just looks like it.
He looks like it. Yeah. I don't know. We're just getting a lot of, like, interesting behind-the-curtain looks at Hollywood right now. To show bad behavior and misogyny in different ways. Because, I mean, Kathy Griffin is just like 100% example of misogyny, like misogyny working against a very talented woman, because she's been doing this shit for years. She's been on sitcoms, she's had television shows, she's won Emmys, she's made won Grammys, has lots and lots of fans, but a lot of people don't know about her because she's been doxxed in different ways. Like, she's been blacklisted in many ways for being a woman that does things on her own. And for being naive, too. Like she was like talking about how like money that was cheated from her and stuff like that. I was just like, wow. It was just like a real, like, it's just like a, you know, a first person story of how the business works and how it can really, how it screws you. Just how it screws.
Not surprised, unfortunately.
Oh yeah, definitely not surprised, but like seeing the, yeah, just being able to go deeper. It's like, what are we gonna see next? Who's going down next?
Who is going down? Who is going to spill the tea?
Because you want them to go down because new people are gonna come in. That makes room for anyone else that wants to do this type of stuff.
I'm interested to see who's going to come in.
Ah. All right. Cardi B is getting engaged. Is engaged.
Yeah.
Getting engaged. Getting She's just married. Engaged. She got engaged. In Philly.
In Philly. In Philadelphia. Offset and Cardi B are getting married.
Yeah.
She got an 8-carat ring.
It's ridiculous.
It looks ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it matches her. She's pretty ridiculous. So she should have a ridiculous ass ring.
It looks like it's going to break her finger off.
Like, she can't let it slip onto her nail because the nail would fall off.
Truly. And, like, she can't ever, like, run her fingers through her hair or, like, snatch a wig right off.
Yeah.
I don't care how good you got that thing on.
It just continues to be the year of Cardi.
Truly.
It's like, she's just like living a hip hop fairy tale. Like, damn.
Billboard 100, number mm-hmm. one, engaged, platinum. Like,
platinum gets to stepping away from reality TV, just like. It's a modern day Cinderella story.
This ring is really crazy, y'all. Like, I'm looking at it again and I'm just like, 8 carats? What?
Is that 8 carats total? So like, or is that just 8 carats, the big ass one in the middle? And then what about all the little ones around it?
Yo, I have no idea.
I don't know how I don't know how rings work. I don't get things like that.
It like covers her first knuckle.
Yeah. Like, how do you even like, can you bend does it your hurt? Finger? Can it like, does it get in the way? Can your like finger can't bend back as much as it might want to?
Or like bend at all? Like,
yeah.
It looks like put it on a necklace or like get a smaller version or.
You could like really get into someone's eye good with that ring.
That's the size of someone's eye.
Yeah. But you could like, but like that little like. where the point is. It's like right where your knuckle begins. So you could like get that point up in someone, like up in someone's eye and pull it out, maybe.
Yo, ew.
That is just too much. 8 carats.
Yeah, I'm looking at the closer photos and video, and I'm just like, how much does something like that cost?
And if that's the ring, what is the wedding going to be like?
Yo.
This wedding is going to be dumb. Like, and did you see the pictures of, like, Gucci Mane's wedding?
I saw, like, a picture, but I knew that there was no budget.
Like, it was, like, that, like, 15-story cake that he cut with a sword.
A 15-story cake?
No,
girl.
It's not, like, literally 15-story. Like, maybe, like, I'm 15, like, feet. What? I think it's, like, a 15-feet cake.
Why?
Like, he was on a tiny ladder with a sword trying to cut it.
Who's gonna eat all of that cake?
I don't know. He had a whole bunch of people at that wedding. I mean, a lot of it was in the trash, but a lot of it was eaten too. But like, they'd had like a 2-part series or something on BET for that wedding.
I mean, I saw the tweets about him saying there's no budget, as if he was like the first person to ever say that.
There's been plenty of weddings with no budgets. That's why I say yes to the dress can exist.
Like, come on.
No, but they're really coming at black people to have crazy weddings.
I mean, what was it? Gucci Mane's wife now. Her ring is like 25 carats? Engagement
what?
Ring? Yeah, her engagement ring is like 25 carats.
That's stupid.
And they spent like $50,000 on invitations. Why?
Because they can.
I love his like smile. It cracks me up. Wait, they spent all this money and they only had their wedding at the Four Seasons? That seems so like low budget compared to everything else.
I mean, what other place would you want it at?
I don't know. It's just like you getting Rolls Royce, you got a 25-carat ring. And, like, the fanciest place, venue you found was the Four Seasons.
I mean, the Four Seasons is pretty fancy.
Yeah, but I feel like there are fancier hotels than that.
I mean, what? I mean, the Ritz-Carlton?
Girl, I don't know, but this, she has a 25-carat ring on her finger. And the Four Seasons is as good as she could get.
What do you think the Four Seasons is? Like, it's not like a Wyndham Suites. Like,
I know that, but compared to like all the money they spent on everything else, it sounds like the Wyndham Suites. This is Miami. Like, they could have bought a house. Like, you got all those celebrities down there with, like, grandiose mansions that you could have, like,
yeah, I mean, they kind of went pretty traditional by doing it at the Four Seasons and not doing it at, like, a mansion.
It's weird. I just, yeah. And when you see her dress, when I see her dress, I'm like, the Four Seasons? I don't know. I just think they could have gone fancier than that.
All right. She be spoken. Your wedding was not all that.
I'm not saying it wasn't all that. It's just like to have all of that and then to put it in.
B hates the Four Seasons, so Four Seasons never give her a room.
I would rather stay at like
a Sheraton.
No, a Kimpton hotel. Oh, those are Kimpton, beautiful.
I love the Kimpton hotels. They're beautiful, yeah.
Exactly. And they have like three of them down in Miami.
But are they as... Yeah. I mean, they're great. I don't know. I don't know the hotel game that much. Kimpton hotels are beautiful. I've stayed in a few. And so that's where I'm like, well, that's, if I've stayed at the Kimpton Hotel, then is it that fancy?
I mean, I know people that have stayed in the Four Seasons, too. So I'm just kind of like, if I know somebody that can afford to stay at the Four Seasons.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how hotels work. I just know that some are fancy and some are not. Some are all right and some are like, woo.
Get me out of here.
Well, that was brought to you by Kayak. what else are we talking about today? I don't even know. No, I don't even want to talk about this. It's just so sad. Like, I'm tired of talking about black women being piled on. I don't want to talk. I mean, let's move on. Let's talk about... Wait, what do you got, B?
So, apparently, Chrisette Michele and Tina Campbell feel as though they're being vote-shamed by their fans. If y'all don't know or don't remember or blocked out of your memory, Chrisette Michele, beautiful singer, beautiful voice, sang at Donald Trump's inauguration and talked about how she was excited for the opportunity, about how she supported Donald Trump, blah, 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 blah. People dragged her. Tina Campbell, if you don't know by her by just her name, she is one half of Christian gospel group Mary Mary, and she also has been very vocal about her support of Donald Trump based on their warped sense of what the Bible says and what religion means, and that whatever false information they have been fed about Donald Trump being a man of God has just completely warped their sense of reality, and they think that he is representative of the love of Christ, which is really quite laughable, to say the very least. But they feel they're being choice shamed. If you don't know, Chrisette Michele was dropped from her record label, Capitol Records, apparently after she had completed a whole new album for them. And Tina Campbell recently had to cancel her tour because not enough people were buying tickets and there was not enough support to sustain her traveling around the country or the world. I don't know where she was going because I don't pay attention to her. Singing her music. So they feel like they're being mocked and bullied and shamed because they supported Donald Trump. And I'm here to say you are and you should be because you're embarrassing. And if you thought that people were going to give you their money after you had vocalized your support of a man who blatantly hates black people, who blatantly hates all people, which is very much against the teachings within this Bible you so-called say you follow. Like, as I learned in church, you reap what you sow. So that's the tea.
Yeah, I can't believe they are surprised and are boo-hooing. But maybe they're trying to grasp for those white dollars by boo-hooing. But maybe if they, like, that's cry never gonna enough. Happen. No, I mean, they're stupid. They're just...
Yeah.
I mean, they're desperate. I mean, at the end of the day, they're desperate. They're... The Bank of Black has spoken, and they're not giving any more money to them, and they're desperate.
We can disagree without division. Like, sis. No. Go somewhere else with that.
When the only thing that really matters in the United States is where you spend your money.
Like, not gonna spend it on you, my guy.
Like, gosh. Like, that's why boycotting and shit like that works, because it's the only thing that matters.
And y'all had to learn, like, the hard way. Anyway. Pretty much.
Bye, girls.
That's all I gotta say.
All right. Well, that's the John. Let's move on.
You've got a You Better Work, I see.
Yeah. I've got a You Better Work this week, because I've been reading again. I've been back on my trying to get my shit in order after, I mean, I'm constantly trying to get my shit in order, and so I feel like I have a different intention in getting my shit in order, so when I do that, I am ready with a You Better Work. I'm reading this. So I've been dealing with a lot of negative thoughts. I think it happens to all of us. You know, you're on your grind, you're doing things, and then it just starts feeling like you're not doing it right. Everything that you're doing is wrong. Or when you get to the point where you're extremely overwhelmed, that you start feeling the overwhelm, and then you start telling yourself that you can't do it. You start to question if you should even have these opportunities, because now I'm overwhelmed over these opportunities, so it must mean that I'm not good enough, that I can't do these things. And then you start to stew on that, and you start believing that, and it just continues to be repetitive and repetitive and repetitive in your mind. Now, some of these things are things that were like kind of programmed into you. So you, like, it might have came from like a teacher. So say you weren't a good student in the fifth grade because your parents were facing a divorce, but you were just reinforced at school that you were a bad student or that you were stupid. Or that you're programmed based off of just being a woman by society, that, you know, good girls are quiet, or women are supposed to do X, Y, Z. If you believe in those stereotypes and those gender norms, all these things are programming that is just becomes reinforced inside of you, and that you start thinking about them over and over and over again. So, I'm reading this book called Mind Hacking, and it is by Sir John Hargrave. It's like some random business book, and I'm listening to it, because it's all about methods for sort of stopping yourself from these bad thoughts. It starts with just like analyzing your thoughts, thinking, really focusing on like taking time to meditate, and then it breaks down, it gives you a bunch of like little tips on how to like stop this bad thinking. I just wanted to share a couple little tips that I'm trying out, that I've been trying out for the past week, that have really helped me rethink some of the, what I call to myself, just kind of just stupidity. You know, when your brain just wants to make a problem, when that problem really isn't there. So, the first method is the five whys. So you've run into this problem, like you feel like you are overwhelmed, you can't do this work, or you are fixated on like a major problem, like I can't get a job, or I can't hold a job, or no one will ever love me, I can't be in a relationship, my family, I'm not close to my family, like some type of like big problem that you are meditating on. And instead of just like meditating on that one thing, ask yourself why five times. And in the series of asking yourself why, so you say like, I can't get a job, or I can't hold on to a job. And you ask yourself why, because usually I make my boss mad because I don't follow the rules. Why? I don't follow the rules because I don't trust some rules, because I don't trust many rules that are put in front of me. Why? I don't trust them because sometimes I had a family member that was very dominating over me, and that makes me distrust rules. And you ask yourself why one more time, because I'm a strong-willed individual, could be like the final reason. And so now you're at, okay, I'm a strong-willed individual, how do I unpack that more to fix my problem, to help me fix my problem? That comes from Toyota. From the Toyota company, they do that when they have something is like on their assembly line. If something breaks down, instead of just trying to fix the problem, they ask themselves why five times, so they can get to the root problem. Another thing that I've been working with is this method called examining the worst case scenario. So this is definitely for bad thoughts that are rooted in fear, like one fear that I have all the time is that I'm going to lose my job. There's no real reason there's no real reason for that, but I think that sometimes I'm going to lose my job for whatever reason. And so examining like the worst case scenario. So, okay, if you lose your job, what is the worst thing that's going to happen if you lose your job? So if I lose my job, then, you know, we might not be able to pay the bills. We might go into debt. We might have to move back to the East Coast. And you think about all these different things. I mean, once you get down to the worst thing that could happen, one, you could either, one, realize you would never allow yourself for it to get that far. Or two, that it's just so unlikely that that could even happen. So like, you know, you keep on going, we can keep going down that idea of losing your job. My marriage ends because of money problems. And then I end up being a homeless, destitute woman because my family doesn't understand how we're not married to my husband anymore. They like him more. Some like kind of crazy crap, you know? And you get yourself down there and you're like, no, that doesn't make any sense. And so it's a way of like seeing the hyperbole that lives underneath these bad thoughts. The final method is the third person perspective. So you just ask yourself this very simple question. If someone else was going through this problem and they were telling you this problem, what would you say to them? And so it's like super simple. It's like, okay, so, you know, I'm having a problem. Say you're having a problem with your significant other. what would your best friend say to you if you told her that story? What would Oprah say to you, or a character from a book that you are reading? What would they say back to you? Just like coming up with what that third person perspective would be is another way, just like different ways of you attacking what that bad feeling is. The five whys and the worst case scenario have been two things that have been like very helpful for me. Helpful for me to, one, examine the parts of my past that have rooted some of the bad, some of the thoughts that I carry about myself, and how they continue to come up at certain times. So like at that moments of overwhelm, I'm transported back to the sixth grade. And what is that? What does that mean to have those feelings? And once you're able to confront like where it comes from, then you can begin to debug, to attack that logic in a way that could be soothing. It's also something that you could bring to your therapist to examine even more. It's like little side work that you can do to just truly understand yourself. I've been recognizing like I know how to be myself, but I don't know if I know myself. And I don't know if that's like the next step in this type of work, that like first you're more comfortable in your skin and then you truly try to understand what is inside of your skin. And I don't know what that will bring, but I know that's where I am right now, is truly understanding what are the pieces that have made me who I am today. Good, bad, and in between. So that first step is looking at some of the bad. And then the next thing that I'm trying to do is start thinking about positive things to say to myself. Positive ideas about myself, and going deeper than just like the surface things. Like, yeah, I'm a hard worker, but what does that really mean? So that's my "you better work." Work on you. Work on those loops. Work on those bad thoughts.
A constant struggle. Every day. Yep. Every day, every day, every day.
Yeah, and you have to look at it every day. That's why journaling is so great.
Yeah. A lot to think about.
All right.
All right. Moving on. Moving on.
Yes, we're moving on. We're moving
Throwback
on.
Jam.
Moving on.
So, I selected the throwback jam for this week. This song kind of makes me think of my dad, because I think that's who played this song the most. But I actually found it when I re-downloaded Spotify. I'd made like a throwback playlist, and like one that we've shared multiple times, but also like one of my own that when I found a song, I would instantly put it on there so I don't forget it again, or like I know to go back to it. Mm-hmm. And this song started playing the other day, and I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't heard this in forever. Heavy D and the Boys, "Now That We Found Love." Now that we found love, what are we gonna do with it now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Heavy D just makes me think of my dad. It makes me think of dancing in the living room. It brings back a lot of really great memories. So this is a This is an exciting throwback jam for this week. It's also, like, pretty... Like, the beat is, like, exciting, but it's also, like, a pretty chill song. So, like, it's rainy this Sunday, and I can listen to it, like, hanging out in my room drinking tea and, like, bob my head along, and I don't feel like I have to get up mm-hmm. and, like, jam. But if I want to, there is, yes, there's you a can. Beat. There's beats for that. There's groove and there's groove and movement for that in this song.
Room to chill and right. room to groove. I like it.
It's a good Sunday pick. Selection.
And, oh my God, you know, and no, what? Never mind. Never mind. Never mind. Never mind. Cool. Throwback jam.
I'm going to ask Dis about done. Whatever you were going right. to say after the show.
Okay. Hopefully I remember.
All right. Moving on. Moving on.
Moving on to the segment. The segment that we love, the signature segment, the giggle, the cackle, the roar.
Okay. On that note, I feel like you should go first because you just.
So, my giggle is for another podcast that I've been listening to because I've like broadened my horizons and added some new podcasts because I was hating all of the shows that I was listening to. You know, you get into that groove of, like, the same type of shit, and you're just like, I don't care anymore. And maybe you've, like, felt that way about us, and you, like, went away, came back. Like, I definitely do that with, especially some of the shows that have a format similar to how we have a show, with our show, that, you know, I'm into them, then I'm not. So it's okay if you're not into us at times. Anyways, you should always be. Anyways. So I went searching, listen to a lot of Gimlet podcasts because I've like kind of like watched them grow as a podcast company just through their show Startup, and they've been trying to like tap into like the black market for a while. They did a show with Loudspeakers Network, and then they took the creators of For Colored Nerds and said, hey guys, you guys are going to be over on our podcast station. You're going to get a new show. First, they took Brittany Luce, who had For Colored Nerds, and she had a show called Sampler that was a roundup show of all the different podcasts. You just like learn about different funny podcasts. It was a great way to get different folks to try different types of podcasts. But that show got canceled because people stopped caring about a show about podcasts. And so they started a new show just about black culture in general called The Nod. You know, The Nod that you give another black person while you're walking through this white space called the United States. You know, you give that knowing nod to black people because, you know, The Nod. The show. And it's been really great. There's been some stories I was just surprised to learn about. They did the story of this man who dresses and cooks like our enslaved ancestors and does it at different plantations in the South. And he goes, and he sometimes does it in real time. So he wakes up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to begin making to make breakfast, to do the 12 course. Then right after that, starts on the 12 course lunch, and then moves right into dinner, and just like, and does everything from like killing the chickens, and like does it in that way, and. He invites people to come and watch him do this, to recognize this history. There's this other episode where they talk to this woman, the story of they call her the cowboy of the West Village. She was a 20s drag performer who lived her life in drag because she was a lesbian, but could not live that life in the 20s. She could not live openly in the 20s, so she would dress as a man, and ran all these different clubs and was like this amazing performer in the 20s, and lived and was like supported through that club circuit through her old age. And the last episode that they did was like all about Drake and like, is he good for the culture? Like, is he good? And like talked about like the diaspora of Drake and how Drake is from, you know, Canada, but he likes to take in sound from different culture, from different types of music. And is that good or bad that he does that? I know it was like a really good, robust conversation. So like The Nod, a good show. Check it out.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Is Drake good for the culture? Asking the real questions.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a real ass question.
Is he good for the culture? I don't know. I kind of gave up on Drake.
I mean, Drake definitely has a lot of privilege that he needs to recognize.
Yeah.
And some of his comments of saying that he's not like, that he's like not a hip hop artist at times, or not a black artist. I feel like he's like, he said something like that, like he's an international artist or something like.
Anyway.
Something like that. Like, no, I might be misquoting. I think I'm misquoting. He loves all black things. We can't deny that he does not love all things black. And is like, has an enthusiasm about them that is even more like, that's like pure and weird and it's like in a Canadian way. I don't know. I don't know why why it's so different with him. Like,
I don't know. Well, I have a cackle, but like in a way where you laugh so hard that you just start cackling, not a shade cackle. And that is for all the people that have decided to dress as memes for Halloween this year. But specifically, the tweet by @cash, @KAASH. My checks for this glorious photo of a bunch of people that dressed up as memes, linked up, took a photo, posted it on the internet. A lot of them, there's someone dressed as Just Libby, who you can find on Instagram. She's hysterical. Someone dressed as Sharkeesha. Someone dressed as the person in the clown mask doing a split. Someone dressed as Snoop Dogg. I've seen this picture. Someone dressed as the black man in the like sea foam striped polo on the phone looking concerned. This photo is just amazing and hysterical and incredible, and I love it, and it's my favorite. They won Halloween for me.
Black people in general have been winning Halloween this year. I mean, every year, but this year I've just been just bombarded with so many people that have just like, I've been calling it cosplay, and Jordan's like, it used to be that cosplay was Halloween every day, and now Halloween is every day everyone gets to cosplay. It's like the day everyone gets to cosplay, and like these people have been like so specific. I saw a Susie Carmichael that was
so too did I
good, like it was too freaking good, and all of like these. And all these like other just like, I've seen like little kids in good stuff too. Like I've seen kids that have been Ice Cube and Smokey. I can't think of the actor's name from Friday. I've seen it's just like little baby Colin Kaepernick's, and there's just been too good, spot on. Like also like deep cut black culture's been coming through as well. Just brava. I've done nothing but like all your pictures for Halloween. That is the way that I've been celebrating it.
I love it. It's great. It's wonderful. By the time this episode comes out, Halloween will be over, and we will have to look forward to the next year of awesome meme costumes. But I just wanted to shout out the awesome work y'all are doing for this Halloween of this year, 2017, giving us laughs when we definitely needed them. That's a show.
So that's the show.
So you can find us the internet at BLK Girls Laughing with an OG. That's our Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing. You can find us on the interwebs, blackgirlslaughing.com. You can send us an email, blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com. And you can find us at our personal Instagrams. I'm at BEEKNIGHTLY.
I'm Bree Hines.
Bree Hines. And that's it.
Peace, friends.